today is the mandate, the model, and to manifest. Okay? The mandate, to model, and to manifest. Can we just all lift our Bibles together and make a declaration today? Repeat up to me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have what God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, somebody's calling me on that other phone, Jackie. Hallelujah. Let me unplug that. My iPod gets phone calls. I don't know why, but... Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's send the word right now. I believe that was my brother calling. I don't believe he would call unless there was something going on. My brother Johnny. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I bind every weapon that's formed against his body right now in Jesus' name. I speak to his heart. I call his heart to function. Father God, I call his blood pressure to be normal, Father God. His heart rate to be normal, Father God. I pray for his sugar levels to drop to normal, Father God. I pray for every part of his body, his pancreas to be functioning and operating. His heart to be operating as it was created, Father God. Lord, I pray for his mind to be stayed on you, Father God. I pray for the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding to guard his heart and his mind through Christ Jesus, even right now, in Jesus' matchless name. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory that you said, every name named in heaven and earth must bow to your name. And we've taken authority over those things that are attacking him. And we're praising you and giving you glory that you answered and touched him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I know that my brother would know I'm preaching right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, when you get to mandate, our mandate is our call. Hello? You know, God has called everyone that is in this room. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. God has a call in your life. And he purposed for you to be here today because there's something he wants you to get into your spirit. He will not leave anyone out. So say this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, funk. 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 Funk, get behind me. That my mind is open and is receptive to receive God's word. Because if I'm not open and receptive to receive the word, it isn't going to accomplish anything in my mind or my heart or my soul or my body. Hallelujah. And the adversary just wants to bug you. Hello? It may be the way somebody looked at you. It may be the way somebody responded to you. It may be the way that somebody acted. It may be something that someone's done. And God says, that's the thief that's trying to use grief. Yep. That's the thief that's trying to use grief. And God wants you to overcome this by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. Amen? And he's saying to you and I, hey, he has a call. He called you by name. He called you by name, every last one of you that's in this room. So look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The biggest lie of the adversary is, I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough. Hello? Guess what? None of us are good enough. Hello? None of us are good enough. It's his goodness, not my goodness. Amen. And we got to get a hold of this and listen to what the Word of God says. And 1 Corinthians 1:26, he said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." In other words, God doesn't go out and get the wise and the ones that have all the wisdom of this world and all the riches of this world. He called us to reach the poor, the captives, the prisoners, the blind. He told us to reach the lowly, and God would use them and exalt them, and it would shake everyone's head. They would say, "How are they doing that?" Because it becomes a God thing, because God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now, God doesn't want us not to be wise. He tells us to be wise as serpents and harlots as doves. He tells us if we lack wisdom, we ask God. He gives it to us liberally and embraceth not. But I'm telling you something. When God comes into our life and turns a life around, all of a sudden you will begin to do things that no one, people look at you and say, "Why are you acting like that?" Somebody that curses you and you just smile up and say, "God bless you." Hallelujah. In other words, it doesn't make sense to this world. Amen. And it's not supposed to make sense to this world. Because the Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of God. It's foolishness to him. Because they're spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. So as we're walking and we're living this life, he's got a call. He called us with a holy calling. He says in his word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in a truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." In other words, the word has an effect in you and I. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans 14, he said, "The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And God is wanting you and I to know, as the devil, the thief through grief, is trying to steal from you, that God says, "Greater is the one that's in you." Amen. In other words, he's given us a mandate, and our mandate is to answer the call that he has upon our lives. Amen. And every last one has a call. God has called us all to different things and to do different stuff. And some things, not everyone is active in the body of Christ, but there's people behind the scenes. Amen. Not everybody. Maybe God's called you to share your knowledge and your wisdom. You know, if you have young people in a room and God gave you wisdom and knowledge, that wisdom and knowledge is to benefit the next generation. And the problem is, if we don't share our wisdom and knowledge with the next generation, what happens is we say, "Look what they did." So we have to share what God has given us. Amen? That is for the benefit of all of us together. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. We're talking about our calling. Just as Pam stood up gave glory to the Lord. The Word of God says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, sometimes we look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we say, for by grace you're saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we use that scripture, but we leave out number 10. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, wherewith which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Amen. So it isn't our works that saves us. Amen. But our works is P.S. what God has done. Amen. You know, and I believe first and foremost that God wants you to understand that he's called you, but he's called you with a purpose. Amen. He says, Pam had it up there, for he knows the plans he has for us. Amen. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give us hope and expect it in. Amen. In other words, it's just that salvation is the starting place. Now let's move ahead. Let's take the next step. You know, as we're walking with him and we're talking with him, you know, one of the things the Lord spoke to us early this morning about here in the church was wit or wisdom, walking in the truth. Amen. And as we walk in the truth, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that delivers us. But we're to walk in this. I want you to understand something with me today. Let's not forget that every New Testament book and every letter that was written by the Apostle Paul was written to the believers in the Holy Spirit-filled church. Amen? So when he's speaking these things, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the body of Christ because the world doesn't understand it. He's talking to you and I. And as he writes these things to us, he says, hey, you're going to go through some grief in this life, but don't take it personally. Amen? Don't let it get inside of you. Don't let it trouble you. Because if it troubles you, it becomes a canker and a sore, and it brings sickness and disease. Amen? In other words, that's why the adversary always tries to stab you. You know, I was, when I look at this thing, here, in this world that we live in the United States of America, most likely you will not be killed for your faith by a sword, by a bullet, all right, or by a knife or whatever. But you'll be killed by words if you receive them. In other words, that old thing that we used to tell the children, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Well, sticks and stones may break your bones, but those bones will heal, but names cut deeper than the sticks and stones. And it's so important that we don't receive those things, or that we don't let those things get inside of us. Amen? Amen. And in other words, the Father wants us to know, he tells us in his word, you're going to suffer some things for my name's sake. You know, you're going to go through some trouble. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of every one of them. Amen? So, in other words, we never go through anything alone. But the most important thing is, as we have this mandate, the call of God that's on our lives, the model to imitate is Jesus. He is our model. You know, I was speaking to Jan last night, and it's like we were watching this documentary, and it's like I would believe everything that Jesus did, I can do. I believe that everything that Jesus did, you can do. But I don't believe what Jesus didn't do that we can. I believe that he was our example. When he says greater, things that you do, it's not greater in magnitude, it's greater in multitude, because it's Christ in every one of us. Amen? And every one of us have power in the name of Jesus. Amen? And the power that we have in the name of Jesus is decided by you. No one else decides that but you. You have to determine in yourself who's in you and what you can do through Christ Jesus. He's already given you all you need. Amen? But you have to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You have to have a hunger and thirst for the Word, because it's the Word. The Word is the truth. In other words, this is the only weapon we have against the adversary. Amen? Is the Word. And if I don't have the Word, he don't care about my words. Nowhere in the Bible that says that he has to bow to my words. He has to bow to the Word of God. He has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? So when I speak authority and I take authority over the adversary, I'm taking authority over the name of Jesus according to the Word of God. Amen? And so many times the most valuable book in our life, we leave Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. And then we go through life and we get beat up and tormented and all these things happen to us. Amen. The most powerful thing we leave on the shelf. Amen. When Jesus said that we can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, we got to rehearse his words. How many know that practice makes perfect? In other words, whatever we put to practice will start manifesting itself. You can't expect the Father to be manifested in your life when you're not putting it to practice. You know, we gotta take this word and we gotta do our spiritual calisthenics. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're running a race, right? You know, hey, and this is the most important thing. God has given us the Spirit, but God made it in a way that we need to feed on his word to feed the Spirit man. I don't have to feed the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. But there's a spirit of God and there's a spirit of man. I got to feed my man's spirit with the word of God that joins in with the Holy Spirit, and the two agree. Amen. In other words, it's bringing my spirit and the Holy Spirit together in unity. Hallelujah. And then when I start doing that, then things start happening. Then all of a sudden mountains start moving. Then all of a sudden healing starts taking place. Then all of a sudden the manifestation of God is manifested in front of us. Amen? Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man to repent. He said it. He's going to do everything he said he's going to do. Amen? In other words, there's nothing else that we need right yet. He's already given it to us. It's about getting it in here and getting it here and getting it out here. Amen? Amen? The way we respond, the way we react. Well, look at Jesus as a model. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Say, I love Jesus. He's my model. Verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And man, I'm so grateful that he took death so I don't have to, right? For it became him to whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing unto many sons to glory, to make the captive of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God have given me. In other words, it's to him. If you look at me in Romans 8:17, I want to I want to illustrate this, what I just said in Hebrews 2. Line upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, we're talking about following Jesus. He's our model. Amen. To model is to imitate. We're imitators of Jesus. He says in Romans 8:16, he said, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Amen. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. And in other words, you're going to suffer some things for the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to go through anything. The Bible never says that we're not going to go through anything. "Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, for great is your reward." Jesus said we're going to go through this thing. And I'm talking about verbal things right now. I'm talking about words. I'm talking about words that go forth. Words that annoy. Words that trouble. Words that irritate. In other words, what God is saying is, hey, he gave us a mandate. The mandate was to follow the call of God that's on our lives. The model was Jesus. I'm following Jesus. You're not to follow me. You're to follow Christ in me. If you follow anything about me, you're to follow Jesus. He is our example. He's the perfect one. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. He is perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says to us in Matthew 16:24, let's listen to what Jesus says. We're following Jesus. He's our model. He says in verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," or his followers, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." You know, he says, he gives us instructions. If any man will come after me, deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Listen to me. We said this on Wednesday night, but I'm going to bring it to you today. God cannot and will not resurrect anything that's not dead. In other words, if I don't die, I can't be resurrected. In other words, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when I got up here, or wherever you were baptized, I was buried in a grave of water. The old man died. I came up out of the water, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hello? In other words, God is saying, you're looking for some things of resurrected life in your life, but you haven't let some old things die. And he says, if you will let the old thing die, I will resurrect something new. Unless the seed goes in the ground and dies, it'll never bud and bring forth fruit. Amen. In other words, there's some things that the adversary has sowed in our lives. Amen. That have to go to the grave. Because I'll never truly celebrate the victory in Christ until I let that old stuff die. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's difficult. Well, it is difficult if I try to do it. But it's not me. It's him. And others, that's not words. I can do all things to Christ, right? That thing that looks, hey, you know, and let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but as Christ, this is like a hotel. And it has many rooms. And it's kind of interesting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in. When he first came into my life, he cleared one whole floor. I mean, this whole one floor was cleaned out. And then we started putting new stuff in this one floor. He started refurnishing that floor he removed. And then it was kind of interesting after that in my walk with the Lord, he started going room to room. And you know something with the Lord? He does one room at a time. He says he'll never put more on you than you can bear. Amen? In other words, he comes in and he gently comes in but with love. God has never, ever been mean to me. God has never scared me into doing something for him. There's a misconception on the word fear in the word of God. Fear is holy reverence. God isn't coming to try to make us scared of him. He's a mighty God. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. One day that blood will be removed and I'll be sick naked from him, and that's a different story. But right now I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Okay? Amen. God looks down at me. You know who God sees? He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. And who Jesus sees? He's protecting me and saying, he's the one that's got to be. He's the one that's speaking. What came upon Paul? The Spirit of Christ on the road to Damascus. The Spirit of Christ came in then, because God wasn't looking at him now. Christ was. But we answer right now to Christ. Amen. He's our Lord and Savior. You know what a Lord means? A Lord is someone that you put in control. He's just not our Savior, but he's our Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 1 Peter chapter 3, is everybody with me?
Amen.
Are we all on the same page?
Amen.
Again, remember, when the apostles are writing these letters, they're writing to the Spirit-filled church. They're writing to you and I. So you know what I do? I say, Lord, well, how can I apply this? What can I do with this? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness of fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be that so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You know, we talked about that, quickened by the Spirit. Zoopoio is to be made alive. We're alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're alive by the Spirit of God. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your helper. The Holy Ghost is your friend. And all of a sudden, we're building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, you start speaking in a tongue you don't understand. Just glorify God in it. Just magnify God in it. Just watch and see. All of a sudden, your faith's increasing. Hallelujah. You're seeing things through the eyes of the Lord. God says, hey, he's given us a mandate. He's given us a call. And he is the model that we're following.
Amen.
Amen. We're followers of Jesus. And what to manifest means to become, or our behavior. Amen. In other words, our behavior changes. If all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. If you tell your children as parents to do something and they constantly rebel against you, do you just say, oh, it's okay, you're going to learn your lesson? Right? God just, just reality, right? What we're doing is we're saying, hey, we're being transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. In other words, when I'm looking at what Jesus says, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to listen to what Jesus said. And if the disciples had to do what Jesus said, I got to do the same. What puts me above the disciples of Christ? What puts me above the early church? Is there a new age, or is there a new word, or is there something that's not written here that I haven't seen yet? Amen. Turn with me to John 8. We spoke this morning, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Jesus said in John 8, 12, he said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. In other words, we're not walking the same way. We're not walking the same direction. You know, when I was going through life like this, it's like this. I'm going through life like this direction. And when I repented and placed the Lord received him as my Lord and Savior, I'm walking in a different way. I've changed directions. Listen to me. Listen to what the Spirit says. God isn't sending his word in to condemn anybody. God has greater things in store for everyone in this life and everyone that's in this room. And the greater things that he has in store for each and every one of us is according to his word, because he will not go outside of his word. Amen? So, in other words, if he's given us this example to follow, and we're followers of Jesus, turn with me to John 10. And listen to what Jesus said. Verse 25, he said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And if you see this as an illustration, here's the hand of Jesus. Jesus is open wide, and when we're in Christ Jesus, he's got us in his hand. He's got the whole world.
You and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Amen. So when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we're in the hand of God. And when the adversary comes in, he protects us. But I want you to understand something with me today. And I want you to get revelation and understanding of this. That he gave everyone in the room a will. He gave everyone a will. And there's many that walk out of the Father's hand. No one plucked them. They walked away. And if the Bible talks about the prodigal that walked away, what did he have to do? He had to come to himself in return. There's the parable of 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were unwise. And the Bible says the door was shut to the unwise. Amen. In other words, Jesus said this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But there's something that takes place there. It's not just a prayer. It's a transformation of our hearts and lives. It's trusting him with our whole heart. He says, trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen. He has a plan in our hearts and lives. Amen. He's given a mandate. He's called us. He's given us the model, his son. And he asks us to allow him to be manifested through our hearts and lives. And in John 21, I'm going to close here. We find this happens a lot in the body of Christ. Peter was wondering what God was going to do with, Jesus was going to do with John. What if? See, he left out that part because many started hearing and repeating what was said. It said, well, Jesus said he was going to be there until he returns. And he says, if he should be here when I return, what's this to you? And in other words, he said, follow me. And in other words, what the Lord is saying to you and I here in the manifestation is, don't compare your walk with the Lord with someone else. So many times we try to compare ourselves with one another. And the Lord says, I've given you the comparison. I've given you the model. The model is Jesus. You know, and we are called to be followers of Jesus. Now, he tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is as we see the day approaching. We come together because God has gifted everybody with something to bring to the body. You see, Pam had to be in the body today to share her testimony to encourage someone. And you don't know what happened when she shared her testimony. Because, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We don't know what's taking place in hearts and lives. Amen? In other words, he gave us the perfect example. And thus, guess what? There's no one perfect in this room. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. It's called sanctification. It's a process. It takes our lifetime. He received me just as I was. But he loved me so much, he doesn't want to leave me there. Amen. Because the sin of this world is what causes sickness and disease. It brings divorce. It brings all kinds of sickness in this world. But when we get aligned with the truth of God, and we recognize the mandate of the call of God that's on our lives, and the perfect model that he gave us, that he gave his very best. That's how much he loved you and I. And all he is saying to you and I is we'll let that word be manifested in our lives. See, we become. I'm thankful for the grace and the love of God. I'm grateful for the mercy and his grace that abounds towards each and every one of us.